Welcome to Hacking Postgres, a podcast about extensions, extension creators, and other interesting, innovative things in the world of Postgres. I'm Rye Walker, founder of Tembo, a managed Postgres company, and today I'm here with David Wheeler. David, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's great to finally meet you. No. David joined Tembo recently. That's the joke. Okay. Let's see. So yeah, maybe give us a quick background. I know a little bit about your background, but what I don't know is where you grew up and what you were doing before you started working with Postgres. So love to hear about that.
Well, I was born a young child back in the day. No, I grew up in the Sacramento Valley in California.
Yeah.
In the 70s and 80s. And I went to graduate school and studied archaeology. I worked in the Mediterranean region, Cyprus and Israel and Turkey.
Wow.
And that was good. I was in the PhD program at the University of Virginia, and I realized that I was spending more of my time enjoying like making an access database than dealing with academia. And so I made the decision to change careers. So I'm a retired, I like to tell people I'm a retired archaeologist.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Access was actually a pretty cool program. I used it too early on, and it's crazy what you could build with it, you know, the forms and everything.
Yeah. Between that and FileMaker Pro, I got my first kind of real dose of working with databases.
Yeah. Yeah. We built a, for a company called International Paper, we built like a paper, basically all the different paper mills in the country and what papers they made. We had an access database where all that was being aggregated, you know, pre-internet.
I don't have to tell you that a huge parts of the economy still run in Excel.
Yes, that's true. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if the database we built still is working there.
Yeah. Right.
I think I've heard people using Access even recently, so it must still be around, and it must have gotten even better than it was. So I bet you it's pretty cool, but I haven't looked at it in 20 years.
Yeah, same.
Yep. Cool. So do you remember when you first started using Postgres? Because it's hard for me to remember that, but
in that period, just after I left graduate school, I was trying to learn more web stuff, and I was messing around with databases, and I knew nothing. I have no computer science training, so I was messing around with MySQL, MSQL, which was a thing back then, and Postgres. That must have been around 6.2. And when I got a job at Salon.com back in 2000, we were working on a content management system, and it was an Oracle originally, but we decided to cut the costs and moved to another database, and we elected to use Postgres. So we were probably using 6.4, 6.5 at that time. It was an interesting experience. I remember posting when I was first learning about it on some mail list saying, how do I change the data type? And Bruce Malmgren wrote me back and said, dump the database, edit your dump file, and then load it again. Because that was how you had to do it back then.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. I know a little bit about your Postgres work, but maybe, you know, obviously I know you're the creator of PGXN,
right.
But was that the first thing you built? I know you've built, you know, I probably know about three or four things you've done, but maybe you can chronologize, that's a word, all your stuff.
So that content management system was called Bricolage, and we open sourced it, and I ran a consulting business on that for close to 10 years. That was kind of my first big Postgres related project, and how I started to get involved in the community, working, getting help, like solving query problems when they came up and stuff like that. Later, I had an interest in unit testing, and I ported the Perl TestMore unit testing framework to Postgres. At first, it was just an experiment, you know, a couple hundred lines of PLBG SQL, and it worked so well, I turned it into a thing, and it's still going. You can use it. It's called PGTAP for unit testing your database.
Yeah.
Does schemas and queries and data types and all that stuff. I also took a stab at, I really wanted a case insensitive text data type. And back then it was just like you used lower on everything or upper to do it.
Yep.
And there was a project called Citext for case insensitive text that existed, but wasn't Unicode aware. And I, being a terrible, terrible C programmer, knows almost nothing about it, got it just far enough along that the project took it on and put it in contrib as Citext 2. And that's still in there. And then later, I developed, so when I was with PostgreSQL experts, doing consulting on Postgres stuff in the late aughts, I wanted to have a better way to do database change management than like the shell scripts I was writing over and over again for different companies to do it, or just relying on the migration frameworks that came with various ORMs that all were very opinionated in ways that were not particularly relational. So I proposed at my employer back then, called Iovation, that I wanted to make a database change management system, and did that. They gave me several months to work on it. It's called Skitch, S-Q-I-T-C-H, at skitch.org. And it does database change management, basically where you write all your change scripts in the pure SQL of whatever flavor of database you're using. And it uses the native client for that database to support it. So for Postgres changes, you write them in PSQL scripts, right? For MySQL, you write MySQL scripts. For Oracle, you use SQL Plus. And that way, it's very familiar to people who know the databases really well.
Yeah.
And it's also pretty closely modeled on and integrates well with Git in terms of managing the order of changes and managing dependencies, but also being opinionated in one particular way about being able to modify, create or replace with kinds of things like views and functions without, yeah. In your source management system, you Git or whatever, in a way that was much more reasonable than like putting in an entirely new script where you couldn't diff it and see what had changed.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty proud of that, pretty happy with Skitch. So those are some of the bigger projects I've worked on over the years.
Yeah, nice. It's interesting. I think the nice thing about Skitch for migrations would be that you get to actually learn what fields are called in Postgres, you know, versus like in the ORM, there's like, you know, you have one, it could be a totally different name, you know, maybe let's say we call it number in the ORM, but it's numeric in Postgres, or, you know, like when you actually have to go into Postgres, you're just super dumb if you use just the ORM all the time. So I kind of like that.
When I was working with Ruby migrations, this is way, way back in the day, I almost always was switching to the pure SQL interface because it didn't do the things that I wanted it to do, especially with writing functions. So having that ability for somebody who is deeply intimate with the flavor of SQL of their database engine, I think it's a really compelling case.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. So what are you working on now?
Well, now I've joined a startup. It's called Tembo. You might know the CEO.
My other personality, yeah.
Rye Walker, not to be confused with Skywalker. This is a company that's brought me in to kind of pick up where I left off with the PGXN stuff. I've been maintaining it for the last 10 years or so and keeping it going. It runs on a server in Germany, maintained by DePez, who's a pretty well-known community member. It's kept it up pretty well, but I haven't had a lot of opportunity to work on it much. A couple years ago, I made it much more mobile-friendly and fixed a couple of display bugs, but I haven't really been able to get into the internals of it. And lately, there's been an uptick in interest in extensions. It's pretty interesting because the way I proposed PGXN back in 2010 was like, look, Postgres isn't just a relational database. It's like an application development deployment platform.
Yeah.
Right?
I agree.
And that kind of fed into the idea of Skitch too, right? It's you're writing code for the database and then you're writing your test for it. So with the introduction of extensions and Postgres 9.1 that Dimitri Fontaine authored, I was like, this is a really good opportunity to build something like CPAN, the Comprehensive Perl Archive Network, or RubyGems or PyPI or one of those kinds of things for the distribution of Postgres extension source code. So I had a little fundraiser to raise some money to actually have the opportunity to just work on it. I had a pretty detailed proposal and implemented. It's something I'm pretty happy with in that it's been kept going without too much effort all this time because things are decoupled enough that you could just like pay attention to the bit that needs attention at any given time. But I haven't been able to put as much time into it as I'd perhaps like, as I've had other work responsibilities, for my employers.
Yeah.
So now having joined Tembo, I have much more of an opportunity to A, kind of like pick up some of that stuff and fix some things. Like I released a new version of the API this morning with bugs that I reported 10 years ago. So that feels really good to just, it didn't take that much time or effort. It's just like I had to have it. And now I have the opportunity to have it. And that feels really good. I've also been doing a little work just to improve the PGXN tools Docker image, which is really good for testing your extension on a broad range of versions of Postgres from version 8.2 to 16 or 17, and to also release on PGXN. But more than that, that kind of, you know, cleaning things up and neatening things up and tightening things up is kind of the beginning of an effort of really thinking through what will we ultimately like the extensions ecosystem for Postgres to look like.
Yeah.
And there's all this interest, not just in like, you can download a zip file from PGXN. It's like, we want to be able to know how many downloads there are. We want to be able to build binaries for various different platforms and different versions of Postgres. And we want to know how many versions of those were installed and whether there were success and failures. So I think there's a lot of opportunity to kind of take the nugget of the foundation that PGXN represents and probably replace some of it. Frankly, it's a bit aged, but to build on it in those ways for a much vaster, broader, and more integrated extension development process and release process and version management process than we have today. And to also enable prompt and widespread, it's not the word, but comprehensive building of binaries for different well-supported platforms, versions of Linux, versions of BSD, versions of macOS, and all that.
Yeah.
And it can be done in a very distributed system.
So I think there's like two different groups that are doing, building some extensions from the core. Maybe, I don't know the exact, like maybe one's Red Hat and one's something else. Are you familiar with that? Like that there's some teams that are building some extensions? Yeah, when we were starting with Trunk, you know, we kind of looked at that and we're like, could we like build on top of what they're doing? Could we build on top of PGXN? Like I said, I think we found two different squads that are building maybe even in different ways. I'll try to track that down. I think somebody knows, but yeah, be interesting to see if like, can we even integrate their stuff? Like it just, to me, centralizing this to the extent that it should be centralized, it would be great.
Well, kind of the vision I have is that there's a central registry that is much more comprehensive than PGXN is today. It's like, if there's an extension that's publicly available for Postgres, you can find it there.
Yeah.
And then have the information there. It's like, okay, you want the source code? You can go here. You want the binary for Debian Bookworm? You go here. If you want the binary for, I don't know, Red Hat 7, go here, right?
Yeah.
Dating myself a little here.
Yeah.
So I think that's possible if you have like this centralized registry that says these are all the known things, and it has an API that can notify any downstream services like, okay, there's a new release of this. Those things can then know to build their new binaries, right? And I could easily see like a little service for Trunk that knows when new extension has been released and just automatically build it to put into the Trunk registry. I could see the same thing for the community Yum and apt registries, for example.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where I'm hoping to take it in the next year.
Oh yeah. The community apt registry is one of the projects I was thinking about.
Right.
Yeah.
They do significant, that's what the PGXN tools Docker image uses, because they support all versions of Postgres back to 8.2.
Yeah. But again, they're only doing like a subset of extensions, right? It's like,
I don't know
how many, maybe 100 or 200 or something in that range.
Yeah. Well, and PGXN itself has around 350. And I imagine there must be over 1,000 really that are publicly available. One of the things we really want to do is to bring up the number of known officially registered extensions in some central repository, whether it's PGXN or something else, to be determined.
Yeah, that's great. So what are the biggest challenges you think to making this, let's call it PGXN V2, you know, a reality?
Well, the first one was having the time and bandwidth to work on it. Wasn't even something I considered before I started talking to Tembo. And so I'm really grateful to be here and to be able to focus on what is a really creative and interesting project that I think that could have a pretty broad impact, not only on the community, but for other companies that need and want to use extensions for various purposes.
Yeah.
But the next steps are to kind of bring people together from the community and some of those other companies to figure out, okay, how do we want to do this together? Where are the lines between like, this is our thing and this is where we want to eliminate duplication, for example? I think there's a lot of duplication today, for example, in building Debian binaries that go on top of the app, the community app repository, and everybody's doing it a little differently. I think there's some possibility there to say, okay, we all want to have all the extensions, even if you allow list or block list some of them for any particular Postgres as a service platform, just to have it there as a central place that we could all depend on, I think creates an interest in collaboration and partnership to build it with the community and across companies.
Yeah, I agree.
So completely. Bringing those people together is my next challenge.
Yeah, and like you don't necessarily need, maybe consensus is too strong of a word for what you need, but you need at least
awareness.
Some sort of neutrality. You don't want to have anyone actively saying like, this thing, I wish you would have talked to me. It would have been way better if you would have done X, Y, or Z, right?
Yeah, there are two aspects of it. One, I want to make sure that everybody is heard. So even if we decide, well, that bit doesn't necessarily make sense for a community project, we still want to be able to have the tooling in place so that what we do provide is can be built on for whatever that thing might be, for example.
Yeah.
But the other thing is to have a better idea of what are all the bits that we're missing. Like, and talking to some A about the stuff that's going on with Trunk, he's like, we really need to be able to say, does it need to be in share preload libraries? We need it to say, these are the system dependencies it has. We need to say, this extension requires a cluster restart. That stuff is not in the metadata today. And I wasn't even really aware of the need for those. Well, system dependencies I can always think of. But the other stuff is like, oh yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So I want to hear from everybody with what those sorts of challenges they have are, so we can get together and put our heads together and maybe start to evolve a broad-based community metadata standard that is more than control files, more than the PGXN meta spec, is more than trunk.toml, but has everything all those things need.
Yeah, I think it's great to say, you know, like virtually every extension is, the metadata around it is going to be incomplete. You know, I mean, maybe some project, you know, you could get, there'll be 100% of every possible data field we have it filled in, but that's not going to be the average for sure. But that's okay. You know, like if people need more metadata added, they can, it's going to be an open source project and they can contribute it, right? Is that the idea?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the tricky part to me is like, do you allow anybody to edit anything about a thing or, you know, do we want to let the creators of a project have control? Tricky thing I have about creators is creator or, you know, contributor. It's there's scales of gray all the way down to, hey, I did one documentation commit. Can I now change this thing? You know, like how do you verify someone's in charge of something, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, the way I measure it is kind of a cascading layers, not to get into CSS. But cascading layers of metadata configuration. Ideally, I think that the extensions themselves, when you release a version of an extension, it has a fully fleshed out metadata file. It says, this is what it needs. These are the system dependencies. These are the configurations that need to be put in place in the Postgres cluster itself. It needs to be rebooted. It doesn't do this, it does do that. Whatever all those things are, ideally are in that. So that anybody who then is notified of that release can just take advantage of that to build the things they need. But I also imagine that a lot of times it won't happen, or somebody will submit a pull request and it won't be merged, or something has been, you know, the author is no longer working on the project. And for that, I could see like various projects saying, okay, we have our own kind of metadata file that we've hand edited to overlay that stuff that comes in with the stuff we know that it needs for our use case, which after all is how apt and RPM specs have been built for decades, as far as I can tell. So that I think that model could work well.
No, that's good. Yeah, because I've also thought like, you know, it would be for me, like it would be interesting to know, like there's always the fear that if you install an extension, could it destabilize the cluster, right? That's like a common fear of any extension.
Sure.
And I was thinking like we could collect metadata on that and we could push it all the way to some central repository, but it could be that PGXN decides we don't want to have that feature. Sounds maybe sometime in the future. Why don't you guys prototype it over there, and if it works, we could bring it to the main later. So like it could be something where we do need to overlay extra metadata from our service. Right. That's a good though. But it'd be nice if you created a data structure, or at least a way that we could think to do that, where we could eventually upstream those additional bits down the road. So
yeah, absolutely. I think that's one of the strengths of the kind of distributed and very kind of narrow focused design that PGXN has today. So for example, about 10 years ago, someone created a separate service called testing.pgxn.org. And what it did was it just rsynced the mirror regularly. And when it saw a new extension, it would run tests on all these versions of Postgres and then publish a matrix of that, completely without the involvement of the project itself. Now, once it happened, we're like, oh, that's cool. We should figure out a way to integrate that in the project. Alas, it hasn't happened, because of time and bandwidth and all those things that were a challenge up until now. But it was definitely a thing, and I really like seeing like, oh, somebody took it and did something interesting, and it might be easier if we centralize some aspect of that, but it doesn't necessarily have to be.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, obviously extensions are cool. Meta extensions. Yes. Cool. All right. Well, so are there big milestones that you're looking forward to in this? I know we're talking about doing maybe something at the Vancouver event, but what are the big milestones for PGXN that you could throw out there?
Well, one is to start to pull together all those stakeholders and community members who really have an interest in that. So yeah, we're trying to organize a summit to take place during PGConf for 3 hours to get a lot of those people together in one place to talk about a bunch of issues and put them on the table and talk them through and maybe make some decisions, come up with a plan. So that's one part of it. So finding appropriate people to co-coordinate with on that, because I don't think it should just be me from Tembo. It should be a coalition of people.
Yep.
And I'd also like to run a couple of like mini presentations between now and then, just virtually, where we can kind of get a leg up on it. Maybe some of the folks working on things privately or internal to companies or even publicly can give a talk on them. Because I think there's a lot of stuff people don't know, even with stuff that's been public. Like this is why I put together a presentation on the PGXN architecture, because I realized nobody knows what it is except me.
Right.
So. Yeah. I think there's a lot of opportunity for that kind of thing to connect people. But then with that in mind, I want to get to the point of saying, well, here's the things we want to build or we want to evolve from what's there today, and have a plan and a roadmap for getting to some sort of idealized vision of what the extension distribution ecosystem could look like. And so I'm hoping to, I'm going to try to draft one myself in the next couple months and to get a lot of feedback and put that forward. I'd like to build towards consensus, or at least, to your point, exposure and knowledge and understanding and being heard amongst all the people to get that in place so we can really start to execute.
Yeah. All right. Switching away a little from PGXN, tell me like what's an important lesson that you've learned over your career? Can you think of anything that you would tell younger you or a young developer just getting started?
People first, I think, right? I really enjoy coding and getting deeply involved in a project. And more than once, my wife has come to the room recently and then left and told me hours later, "You didn't even know I came in the room, did you?" I said, "No." The experience I had after my independent consulting gig for 10 years working in companies was like, bringing up other people and being supportive of other people and hearing from a diversity of voices and perspectives makes everything better. And that's part of why I want to get so much input on and feedback on the stuff that I'm hoping to do with PGXN V2 or whatever we ultimately call it. But the people matter more than the technology, more than any of the rest of it.
Do you feel, is that just your own maturity, or do you feel like Postgres kind of helped you get to that realization, I guess? Is it, kind of curious how you feel like you've got there.
Yeah, I don't think it's Postgres so much, because the truth is I've been much less involved in the Postgres community for the last 7 or 8 years because I've been very focused on corporate jobs. Yep. And it was really being connected to and supportive of and encouraging of my coworkers in those companies and trying to help them through issues and give them the let them be heard and give them the support to do the best kind of work that they can do, even given all the challenges they have in life and work and society today.
Well, this, my next question on my list is, tell me about your commercial product, which, you know, is, I'm kind of curious, how would you describe what we're doing at Tembo? So it's kind of fun. Like, let's see.
Well, back to what I said earlier about Postgres as like an application development and deployment environment. And this was part of the original vision I had for PGXN. It's like, there are so many different extensions you can build. It's the Postgres is so deeply extensible and has only gotten more so over the last 10 years.
Yeah,
that it's remarkable the sorts of different kinds of configurations you can build. So you can have a Postgres that's for your hobby project. You can have a Postgres that's for your data lake, right? You can have in analytics. You can have a Postgres for, you know, obviously your website or whatever. And the configurations you might have are going to be different in terms of tuning for the hardware and tuning for the types of queries you're running and tuning for the kinds of features that you introduce through extensions. And that's the sense I get of what Tembo is providing. And it's why I was, one of the big reasons why I was happy to join the company. It's like, that's very well aligned with how I've myself have viewed it for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, you know, the first thing we did was build Trunk, and it's sort of like the same thing that you, again,
right.
It's slightly different, but like we had the same first instinct, like, hey, this God, like we need a library of this stuff at least.
Right.
Some tools. So yeah, there's definitely some kindred spirit action going on there.
Oh, for sure. And I think there's a lot that we can learn from each other. I mean, I really think the idea of actually trying to say, okay, this is like a bundle of related extensions that somehow packaged, for lack of a better word, is something that had, you know, PGXN is just like 101 and there are just keywords that loosely associate things, but they're like, keywords are like foreign data wrapper. It's like, well, I don't need just, you know, all the foreign data wrappers. I need to know this is with Oracle and use this with Oracle and maybe Oracle-like things and, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I play a lot of games and there's like mods and then there's mod packs, you know, and it's kind of nice to get a mod pack instead of having to like pick through every single mod that might be available.
Right. Bundling. Who knew?
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Is there anything going on in the Postgres ecosystem besides PGXN that you're excited about?
I'm excited for the growing support for and potential for distributed database clusters of Postgres.
Yeah,
I honestly thought it would have been a real thing as part of the core product like 5 years ago, because 10 years ago I was saying, oh, 5 years, it'll be there. And I was looking at Cassandra going, we should do this, but with relational data. And I think there's a lot of promise today with companies like Yugabyte basically building that kind of solution on Postgres 11. And I'm really happy to see a lot of the improvements that are going at the core to enable that sort of technology. And it does come a bit from my bias of working at a company where we needed like this deeply distributed, you know, Cassandra ring that, you know, was insanely fast and huge. And most places aren't like that, but I really got kind of into that mindset and I really appreciate how that's coming along. So I'm looking forward to be able to run a, you know, multi-region Postgres, native Postgres cluster at some point soon.
Native, yeah, that's great. Who are, you know, most of them ask this question, who are your favorite people in Postgres? They won't answer it because they don't want to play favorites, but are there certain people that you've met over the years that you would
label? Right.
No, I'm not. I don't qualify. They have to be in Postgres, you know, like not just outsiders, you know, crashing the party, but, you know.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to say because I've been less involved in community for the last 10 years. I went to PGCon last year for the first time in 8 or 9 years. And a lot of the same people were there. And I was pleased that most of them hadn't aged as much as I had. So that was, that was nice to see that we were all going to be there with our walkers.
But there's
such a huge diversity of people in the community, and I really appreciated meeting so many of them and getting so many different perspectives.
Yeah. All right. Good. If you had a magic wand, you could add any feature to Postgres, you know, with, you know, perfect documentation, there's a maintainer for this feature, you know, it's like, what would you use the magic wand on? Distributed.
Yeah, I know you ask everybody this. I really should have given it more thought.
No, it's okay.
I mean, I am very much a scratch your own itch kind of developer, and that's why I built PGXN. And I really think that that's, you know, the extensions ecosystem is something I really want to see improve. So I'm, that's probably the thing I'm most excited for. Yeah. But, it, you know, in the core, I'm like really happy they're looking at collation challenges and trying to solve those problems. And distributed clustering that I mentioned before, bidirectional replication, all that. There's so much going on all the time. The hackers list is overwhelming. Another one I really liking is the support for SQL standard JSON path support, which is really amazing in Postgres. They continue to iterate on that. I think that's a really nice complement for like a JSON. Postgres is a JSON document store.
Yeah. Would you say that it is right now, or it will be? Or is it, does it need these last the thing you're talking about to get there?
Oh no, it's there. Yeah. It's been there at least since version 12, I think, when they added JSON path.
Between
that and JIN indexes on a JSONB object, you can have a fully indexed document store.
So you're a pretty opinionated person, I would say, in general. Would you describe yourself as contrarian ever? Are you a contrarian? Like, do you tend to take contrarian positions or not so much?
Well, it depends on who I'm contradicting, I suppose.
Yeah. Your wife. No, I'm kidding.
I don't consider myself contrarian, but as I said, there's a huge variety of perspectives in the community. So it's going to be contrary to someone out there. And I'm very happy to engage in discussions about that animatedly. But I'm also happy to be wrong.
It's an interesting perspective. It's like, anyone who you know, everyone's contrarian, right? Because not everyone agrees.
But right.
Some people identify themselves as more contrarian, I think, than others. Like, they like to fight. I think I'm one of those people sometimes.
I like to speak up for people what I think is right. I don't consider that contrarian. I just consider it trying to practice the ethics I believe in.
Yeah, yeah. That's great. That's good. I like that. Do you listen to podcasts very much?
I do. I listen to podcasts a lot.
Yeah. So what are some of your favorites? They don't have to be technical, but I'm always looking for new. I pick up usually a new podcast, you know, a month out of these conversations.
You know, lately I've really been enjoying podcasts that do deep dives into storytelling. So usually shows or movies, like for the Better Call Saul Insiders podcast, which was put on by the creators of Better Call Saul, is fantastic. It's like going to film school, I swear.
Yeah.
Just listening to the podcast.
And it's still the show's done, but is the podcast still going?
No, they ended the podcast. They'll probably bring it back when they do when Vince Gilligan does his next thing. Cause that's, they had a podcast for Breaking Bad as well. And they kind of folded in with the same people. Lately I've been listening a lot to the Script Notes podcast, which is screenwriters talking about storytelling.
So you're going to create a movie someday, or at least write a script for a show. Write a pilot for a sitcom?
No, but it really does help me think about how I want to write about something or make a case for something. I think it's always really important to have a story and the story that connects with people, even if it's about replication or whatever. So I get a lot out of it from that perspective.
Yeah, so that podcast, the name of that was what? The script?
Script Notes.
Script Notes, okay.
That's been going on for over 10 years. It's a... John August and Craig Mazin.
Yeah. I love listening to, like, there's, you know, I truly believe, like, developers are artists, you know, like we certainly, if you're building anything visual, it's certainly an art, front end. I think back end API design is an art as well. I love, as a podcast about, you know, breaking down how music, how songs were made.
Oh, yeah.
The heck's it called? I can't think of it all of a sudden, but
Song Exploder.
Yeah. So, like, I love listening to that. It's like, you know, will I ever make a song? Probably not, but it's so interesting to see how it's deconstructed. Same ideas, you know, is there. But I think creative people love hearing how other creative people create.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. I definitely, the thing I really enjoy about the work I do and the communities I've been a part of is the real focus on the quality of the craft that you practice.
Yeah.
That's really what gets me going.
Yeah, that's great. All right, people can find you online. Are you? You're off Twitter. You're on Mastodon, yeah. I believe, right?
I'm on Mastodon. My username there is theory@xoxo.zone.
We could find, if you search for David Wheeler or Twitter, you could find the Mastodon link, right?
Yeah. It's in my Twitter bio, I guess.
Yeah.
I was Theory on Twitter, if that helps.
Yeah. Which it's like, man, it's tough to give that up, right? But I'm sure you had a reason.
Yeah.
Awesome. Cool. I don't have any other questions. Do you have any questions for me?
Where do you see Tembo in 5 years?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, honestly, like when we started the project, I was like, I don't know if this is going to be a company that succeeds because there's so many managed Postgres companies. But the thing I want to make sure we do is make Postgres better, you know, leave Postgres in a better spot than it was before we came. At least we could do that, you know, whether we could make our investors money, I don't know. But, you know, I think it's been a great first year and I'm really encouraged by, you know, you joining, Samay joining, you know, we have some other people from the Postgres community, like the with capital letters, you know, coming in now. So it's exciting. And I think our project is compelling and hard. People like working on hard stuff, you know, so.
For sure.
I just think like you can't, you know, there's always a market for, you know, cheap dull knives. There's always going to be a market for expensive, sharp, heavy knives, you know? And so I kind of think we're trying to do the latter, you know, we're trying to do the hard, do something that's, you know, perhaps requires expertise to use. But Postgres is so huge that I think you can't really, as long as you do whatever you do well, you can make a business out of it, you know? So
I kind of like the knife analogy, because one of the things I really appreciate about Postgres, the project, is the extreme attention to quality. They don't ship something unless they believe it's fully ready, which is in contrast to a lot of technology development today. But also because it does cover all these use cases, if you're familiar with it, it's like that nice knife that's comfortable in your hand and familiar, even if you're doing analytics instead of something else.
Yeah, that's how I, you know, a year and a half when we got started, I was like, I know it's wrong to use Postgres as a data warehouse, but I want to use it anyway because I have it. It's right here, you know, and like, I don't want to have another tool. I know what Snowflake is. I know that it's just, you know, it's something that wants to cost more and more. So Postgres doesn't do that to you as much, you know? So,
right.
Anyway, yeah. So I think in 5 years, hopefully we'll be one of the top Postgres companies, but we'll see how we execute. And you know, it's definitely not a foregone conclusion, but we're going to try.
I'm optimistic. I think it looks really good.
Yes. Thank you. Well, great. Thanks, man. I'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Ryan.